Hey, one of the things that I always think about and I've been thinking about lately is the conversation between Mary and Joseph when Mary told Joseph she was pregnant. Like, I always wonder how that conversation went, right? Because we just read about it, but we don't really think, a lot of times we don't think about Bible people as real people, for one thing, right? They were actually real people. I mean, they went to the bathroom like us, they farted like us, they do stuff like us, and they, you know, told jokes like us and things like that. And so we don't think of them as real people. And so I always wondered how that conversation went. And it may have went something like this. We got a video we're gonna show you. So go ahead and roll that video. It may have went something like this.
Mary, I said it once, so I'll say it again. I can do two things.
Two things at once, yes, I know. But we really need to talk. And Joseph?
Yeah?
I need you to listen.
I am listening so hard right now that you can't even imagine how much I'm concentrating on you and words.
I'm overwhelmed by your concentration. Can you just stop for a second, please?
Yeah, I would love to stop for a second, but I can't.
Why not?
We're gonna be married soon, and I just want everything to be perfect.
Joseph, I love your heart. I really do, but you know, not everything has to be perfect, and that's okay, because we don't know what life is gonna throw at us, you know?
Right, but I still want a house worthy of you, and to do that, I've gotta work, because a man's...
Man's got to have a plan.
Have I mentioned that before?
A time or two?
Mary, I have so many plans for us. This table, this is where we're gonna have our meals together, and I've made it big enough for some little ones. For down the road, of course.
About that.
I'm gonna put that chisel.
Joseph, I need to tell you something. Something unbelievable.
Did I put it in that shelf?
I was visited by an angel.
Yeah?
And that's all we get, right? I want to know what happens next, don't you? Like, I want to know what happens next. But that's classic guy, husband-wife conversation, isn't it? I mean, that's like me and my wife right there. She will come in and she'll be telling me something. I'm like, yeah, I'll be on my phone playing a game or something. Yeah, that's nice, And then she say something and I put down, what did you just say? I have no clue what you just said. Because, you know, I was playing a game and you came in and interrupted my game by talking, right? And so, but that's, that's classic. Like, you could have said, hey, there's a herd of unicorns that just trampled through the garden and be like, oh yeah, that's nice. Yeah, you know? But that, I want to know what happened next. That's what I want to know. And we really don't get that, right? We don't get that. We don't get, did Joseph take that tool and chuck it across the room? Did he get angry? We don't, you know, we don't think of him like that. But they're real people. Here's the thing. Mary had 13 verses to describe how many, how Mary found out she was pregnant. 13 verses. And then 17 verses to describe what Mary did after she found out she was pregnant. Matthew shares kind of Joseph's perspective, and it's from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's all we get. That's all we get. 27 Greek words compared to Mary's version, which is 220 Greek words. Now, I think that's on purpose. The average woman speaks about 22,000 words a day, while the average man speaks about 7,000 words a day, right? Right? Whatever. Hey, that was one of the 220. But there's this big comparison, this big difference, right? And we don't know what happens afterwards. We don't know what happens afterwards. The only thing we get is the angel appeared to Joseph. Like, Joseph was about to divorce her. They weren't married yet, but they were betrothed, which in public's eye and in government's eyes, they were viewed as married. And so that's why it says Joseph was just going to divorce her quietly. And so he thought about, what am I going to do in this situation? He probably got angry. I don't know what happened. My mind wanders. But he decides that he's going to divorce her quietly. And so then we know that an angel of the Lord appeared to him, right? And he said, hey, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Everything that she has said is true. I was saying something to Carrie today. Like, if my wife came up to me and was like, hey, Brent, I'm pregnant. But don't worry, it's from God. What are you talking about? You know? And so Joseph probably obviously questioned that too. And then the angel appeared and said, don't be afraid. We see the angel of the Lord appear four times in this Christmas story, right? We've talked about some of these, right? And four times the angel of the Lord gives the same command. What's the command?
Don't be afraid.
Fear not. Don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Imagine how different things might have been had even one of these groups, one of these people, chosen to let their emotions lend to their actions, rather than choosing to obey the command not to be afraid. I mean, if Zechariah hadn't obeyed and instead chose to let fear be his guide, perhaps the destiny of his son John would have been different, right? If the shepherds had not obeyed and instead chose to let fear be their guide, then they would not have fulfilled their mission of being the first evangelists. Right? That's what we talked about last week. Who shared the good news of great joy that was for all people. If Joseph had not obeyed and instead chose to let fear be his guide, perhaps he would not have taken Mary as his wife and instead would have quickly and quietly divorced her from taking her as his bride and they wouldn't have given birth in the city of David in the coming months, right? If Mary had not obeyed and instead had chosen to let fear be her guide, perhaps she would have stayed with her cousin Elizabeth. Remember, she went to go visit her cousin Elizabeth, and maybe she would have stayed there and given birth near her new nephew John and Elizabeth and Zechariah and their home not in Bethlehem, as the prophecy of Micah 5:2 had foretold. So I always wonder those things. What would have happened if they would have let fear take over them? The immediate obedience of these people in the Christmas story all led to the fulfillment of God's timely plan for salvation. Matthew goes on in verse 23 to share how part of the prophecy was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. And it says this, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. This is the fulfillment of prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Matthew reminds us the meaning of the name Emmanuel. God, our God is with us, right? God is with us. He is Jesus, the God who saves us, and he is with us all the days of our lives. He is with us in every valley of the shadow of death. Makes you feel good, right? As well as on the mountaintop of life. And we have the same promise. Don't be afraid. God is with us. Fear not. I am always with you. Jesus is with us as far away as the moon and closer than our skin. God is with us. God is with us. God is Emmanuel. Living life unafraid, we all have that ability. share the good news of Jesus Christ with all people, for all people, with all people, with the world that is afraid. But we're not afraid, right? Because we have the command, the same command that these four characters had, do not be afraid, for I am Emmanuel, I am with you. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for the opportunity just to gather here this morning and to see the kids act out the Christmas story with us, Father, and just to reminisce a little about maybe what really went on during this Christmas story. We always get the feel-good, make-you-feel-good version. But I want to know what happened behind the scenes. And so to reminisce a little bit about that helps me to put in perspective that these are real people dealing with real issues. Even the issues that we deal with on a regular basis, these people probably dealt with some of those issues, Father. And how they respond, maybe at times it's how we respond. Maybe Joseph blew up on Mary. We don't know. We do know he made a decision that he was just going to forget the marriage, divorce her quietly, kind of walk away. Father, but you had other plans. You had other plans. And you sent your angel and said, do not fear, Joseph, for I have a plan. It's okay. And Father, I think about my life and some of the people, my friends' lives here that are here this morning, Father, that there's times in our lives where you've called us to do something. And sometimes we need to hear those words because we're scared to take a step out in faith. Because we don't know what's going to happen. And so, Father, help us in the times that you've called us to do something. Father, help us to hear those words. Fear not. I am God. I am Emmanuel. I am with you. It's going to be okay. You're not doing this alone. So, Father, as we continue to worship, as we close out this morning, Father, and as we leave here and we go into the busyness of this holiday season, help us to just take a step back. Help us to look out at the people that are around us. Maybe you're calling us to just go up and give a stranger a hug, although it may be awkward. Maybe that person just really needs a hug from somebody. Father, help us to do what you've called us to do in those times. Help us to step out, maybe just to say Merry Christmas to somebody with a smile on our face, or just to ask somebody, hey, can I pray for you? We're about to eat our meal, and we're just going to pray. Is there anything we could pray for you about this holiday season? Father, help us to be a light for you in this dark world. We love you and we thank you. It's your name we pray. Amen.